Fox News Radio.
From the WFAS Weather Center, overnight clear skies, cold, low down to 20. On Friday, clouding up, period of light snow or flurries by midday, temperatures slowly warming up to about 40. Friday night, partly cloudy, cold, brief rain or snow shower, low down to 30. Saturday, some early clouds, then partly sunny, high of 45. And Sunday, cloudy, cold, light winter mix with a high of 40. I'm Bob Bottom, and that is the latest from the WFAS Weather Center.
The following is a paid program. The opinions expressed are solely those of the sponsor, and not necessarily those of WFAS or its advertisers.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We're heard right here on WFAS AM 1230 every Thursday evening from 6:05 to 6:35 p.m. And tonight, our guest is Anita Taylor. Welcome, Anita.
Hi, Bernie. How are you?
It's good to have you. And you're with Anita and Company, right?
That's right.
So tell us, what's Anita and Company?
I am a professional organizer and a professional speaker. And I specialize in paper, time, space, and sometimes organizing minds.
All right, let's start with the first one, professional organizer.
Right.
All right, so does someone get a certification for that?
Well, they can now. When I started it and was well over 15 years ago, there was no certification. There was an organization, the National Association of Professional Organizers, so that was our go-to place. That was where we learned whatever we could learn, conferences and so forth, that type of thing. Now they are working on a certification for everyone across the board, and there are subspecialties as well. One of them is chronic disorganization, which is really targeted at hoarders.
Hoarders meaning people who can't throw things out?
Well, it's beyond just that. Do you know the story of the Collier brothers?
No, tell me.
Oh, the Collier brothers. Long, long, long time ago, there were two brothers who lived in a house together for too long, and they collected newspapers, more and more and more newspapers, to the point where in this home, there were pathways in and out of the rooms, and that was the only way they could get through. At one point, there was a very bad accident, and one of the brothers was killed, and they couldn't even get in the house to get him because of all this stuff. So when anybody ever talks about hoarders and taking it to that extreme, they talk about the Collier brothers.
So can you help a hoarder?
Well, that is the specialty that I don't do. I leave that to the people who love to do that, and they have to work literally hand in glove with the client, a psychiatrist or psychologist, and the organizer.
All right, so give me an example of, like, your ideal client.
Oh, my ideal client. Oh, I've got so many. At one point, I was dealing a lot with women who were in their 40s, who were very wealthy, had help, had maybe 3-4 children, whatever. But they became almost estate managers because their husbands worked very long hours and usually commuted into the city or whatever. They were left at home to take care of everything. That meant taking the child to ballet, even if they had a nanny. But they still ended up going and taking them to lessons and so forth. If there was a renovation, sometimes the renovation forced them, literally, to become the general contractor for this piece. So that was, at one point, the client that I seemed to attract for a while. Then I got people who just had too much stuff, and they wanted to get rid of the stuff.
So let's stick with this desperate housewife.
All
right, so what would you do to help?
Well, what we did really to start with is we would go in, and I would go in and work with her on paper, because paper always seems to be an issue, mail especially. You do very well for mail at the office, though, right, Bernie?
Well, I've got people to
help me. Yes, see, there we go. But the key is that when you have to deal with everything that has to go on in a very large home with a lot of different responsibilities, mail seems to be a very big issue. Then you add in all the papers that the kids bring home from school. Then you bring in whatever other project has to come in. So paper is an issue. If we could figure out a way to put it someplace and find it when we needed it, and then discard it when we didn't need it, then we won, as far as paper was concerned. But I've also worked with a lot of these clients in kitchens, especially in a renovation. In one instance, it was amazing. She had this gorgeous, gorgeous kitchen. Gorgeous. It was so big, she didn't know what to do with it. So we rearranged every single thing according to what she did the most. So if she had a space for the children, we wanted to make sure that the supplies were close to the area where the children did their drawing or their eating or whatever. She had baking things on the complete opposite end of the kitchen away from the oven. So we moved things closer to point of use. And so that helped her a tremendous amount. We did closets. We did what we call the launching pad, where people are leaving the house and then coming in and dropping things, backpacks, shoes. I mean, she had drawers for shoes. And it wasn't just her. It was her husband and her children and herself.
So let's say I knew somebody and it became important to call the landscaper. Mm-hmm. And we've called the landscaper 100 times, but the leaves are not fully picked up outside in the backyard. And this person wants to have the leaves cleaned up, so he asks his wife, can you call the landscaper, honey? And she says, well, can you give me his number? Well, what happened to the other 99 times you called him? How did you get his number? I don't know. I must have had his card. Is that the kind of person who you can help?
That works out very, very well. What we try to do is set up a resource list for the house. Every single person that they've ever dealt with, every person, especially in a renovation situation, because you know how many contractors come in and out of the house. And if there isn't a general contractor on the other side, that gal ends up being that person. So she has to be organized, or the leaves don't get picked up and the cabinet door doesn't get fixed.
And where do you put the list so that doesn't get lost?
Well, let's talk about a command central area. Where does she work? Where does she pay the bills? Or does she pay the bills? Does he pay the bills? Does she pay the
bills? Well, do you want to pay it on time?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
So she should pay him, not the husband. Is that what you're saying to me, Bernie?
I don't know. Is this something that's trainable? Can you actually fix this?
If they want it.
Some people don't want to do it because it's easier for the other person to do it?
Well, they also feel that there sometimes can be resentment. And sometimes people have asked me if I will work with husband and wife together, and I say no because I'm not a marriage counselor. And that's where I get put in the middle between the two. And one is very organized and one is not. So the other one is pointing fingers, and that's very bad. So my biggest asset to any client is that I'm not judgmental. It's not my job to come in and point a finger at a client. It's not my job to shame them, because that's what a lot of other people out there do. So what we work toward is a comfort level, someplace where they can go and they can smile and be comfortable. And if the husband or the, now that I've met Mr. Moms as well,
right.
If the wife who's working comes home and she's in a comfort zone, then the husband's happy. Same thing, the reverse. If the husband is the one who goes out and has to commute every single day, when he comes home, he needs that comfort zone, and that makes his wife smile as well.
So it's possible that the person who is on her face or on its face disorganized is acting that way out of resentment related to some marital or other personal issue?
Sometimes, and I try not to get too tight and too close to that because I'm not a psychologist.
Right.
And even though people want me to counsel them, I do things on a very, very general level.
Do some people have, like, adult deficit, attention deficit?
I work with a lot of ADD people, but it's very diverse. It's not a cut-and-dry thing. Some ADD people have hyperfocus, and you can't move them. They get into one thing, and they won't go anywhere else, but they stick with this. Whereas when people think of ADD people, they think of them as being easily distractible and jumping from point to point to point. And I tease them, and I say the same thing, especially when I do my classes. I'll say, well, you know how you wanted to go across the kitchen and you wanted to pick up that glass for the water, and you got to that counter, and you saw that envelope? Oh, wait a minute, I'm supposed to call that guy. So now you move to the next point in the kitchen and you get to the phone. And when you get to the phone, you don't pick it up. You see something else that you were supposed to sign for school that needs to be in school right now. So you take the piece of paper and you run out the door. You never got the glass of water. You never made the phone call. But you did go to school and bring the paper. Now, is that person ADD or is that person just overwhelmed with too many details?
We're not organized enough.
Aha, there you go. A system that works for you and you don't have to think about is what your goal is.
So you actually come into the house and help an individual
mm-hmm.
develop a system to get better organized.
Right. And it's what is the most painful piece in their home for them. And that's the other catch-22. Somebody will call me and say, I have to have my kitchen done. I can't find anything. I can't even cook because I don't even know what pan I have. And I keep buying all this food, and I have all this food. And I get there, and I'll say, and we're going to work on the kitchen. And they'll look at me very sheepishly, and they'll say, can we work on the bedroom instead? And I'll say, fine, whatever bothers you the most is what we should work on. The reason they called me was because somebody else told them the kitchen should be done. They shamed them. They said, no, you know, what's the matter with you? Can't you keep a clean kitchen? So we flip it, and we work on the point where they're in the most pain. Get rid of that, and then we can move on to the kitchen.
I'm Bernie Crooks, and we're speaking with professional organizer Anita Taylor, and we're going to be right back after this short message.
Sooner or later, disability or illness strikes every family, and unfortunately, that's not the time to do the planning. The best time is in advance, before a crisis strikes.
Bernie Crooks, from the law firm of Lippman Crooks.
Susan, Vincent and Sheila's oldest daughter, had called us because one of her friend's parents recently had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and their financial affairs were a mess. They had not done any advance planning.
Susan didn't want that to happen to her parents. The caring professionals at Lippman Crooks helped her design a comprehensive plan that provided for long-term care while protecting her parents' hard-earned assets.
Susan and her siblings now have the peace of mind of knowing that their parents can go on with the rest of their lives without having to worry about what would happen if one of them became sick or disabled.
Your parents had big plans for you. Make sure you have one for them. Call the law offices of Lippman Crooks in White Plains and Manhattan.
Peace of mind with Lippman Crooks.
Call 914-684-2100.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm your host, Bernie Crooks, from the law firm Lippman Crooks, with offices in New York City, White Plains, and Dutchess County. And our firm serves our senior population and those with special needs and disabilities. And today we're talking with Anita Taylor, who, among other things, is a professional organizer and a professional speaker.
That's right.
So what's that all about, speaker?
The speaker. That's fun. I love to do this. I started my business in 1992. And in March of 98, I suffered a financial situation. I was working for someone else, and in one phone call, I lost half my income. So I needed to replace it very quickly, and a wonderful man who was a coach helped me pick something else up. And I said, well, what else could I do? And he said, well, what else do you like? And I said, well, I've always done training of some sort, some way, somehow, in almost every organization, every job I've ever had. So we started the speaking business, and the speaking business literally was telling people in a group what I would tell clients singly. So I was going out and I was doing paper management, time management, clutter management, anything and everything that we thought of as far as the organization of stuff was concerned. Then it ended up that I got into the business side, and I also got into the nonprofit side. And recently, I just did a conference in Rockland County for the Child Care Resources of Rockland County, and I was their keynote speaker. My topic was Simplify, Organize, Succeed. And that's what I did. We had a lot of fun, and we talked a lot about child care and how you work with children every day.
So how many people are generally in the group when you speak?
Well, at that point, there were 250 plus, somewhere around there. But I do small classes. I'll do a conference where I might have anywhere from 25 to 50 people in a room, depending on the organization itself. And I do continuing ed where I could have maybe 10 people. So it varies.
Is the topic always the same?
It's what they want. I mean, I do a whole series of networking talks, but not networking just for business. Networking for a nonprofit is a very different animal than it would be for somebody in business. So if you and I went to a networking event, we would be talking about our business. But if we went to a networking event that had all nonprofits, what would they want to do? What would they network? How would they deliver their message about their agency? How would they get members, board members, donors, anything and everything? So if they went out into the same setting that we were in, and I was in one last night, there were nonprofit people there, they're not looking for business per se. They're looking for other things. There's a different approach when you network for a nonprofit. So I even have that niche that I never thought I would have. But because I've been a volunteer for so long, that's how I fell into it.
And how do you get most of your speaking engagements?
It's a lot of word of mouth. It ended up that the Rockland County situation was an offshoot of another talk I did last year for Head Start of Rockland County. And that came from a colleague in a networking group.
So it's basically word of mouth?
Mm-hmm.
So then people pay you a fee to mm-hmm. deliver the speech?
Absolutely.
And then you prepare by learning about their business or whatever they're doing?
Well, the intriguing part about the Rockland County keynote was that I basically talked to them about the philosophy I have of working with people who deal with children. I don't believe in pushing and shoving anything. And in the process of me doing this talk and delivering this keynote, the gal who hired me was nudged by her executive director and said, boy, she really did her homework. And Debbie was sitting there going, I hope she doesn't say anything about toy boxes. I would never have thought about a toy box. It was really, really a funny thing that she would mention. But when I work with people with children and they're looking for a way to put away toys, I come up with creative ideas of how to store the toys. So I just translated everything about my philosophy into someone who would do child care as a business. And it worked.
So you basically speak about topics that you would work on with people individually.
Mm-hmm.
Just you doing it to a group.
Yes, because the funny thing is that even if you're in a situation where you are in a professional development area, they still want to talk about themselves personally. It all comes back to if you are not organized in your personal life, it's very difficult to be organized in your professional life. So this is what it comes down to. Somebody will say, well, I don't know how to do this thing in the kitchen thing. It's making me crazy. I don't know how to find it. So it's and I'm there because it's a professional development day, but they want to know about their kitchen. But if you think about it, if they're content at home, they can be content in the office. Sometimes there are two personalities. Somebody at the office, and this is what I used to be like, was absolutely perfect. And at home, crazy, you know. Now I'm hoping that I'm balanced because I'm home-based. So I have to have a good office and a good house. But I realize that as I've gotten older that I've simplified a lot. And I think that's more my mantra than anything else, is to simplify your life and not have as much stuff. Share with people who don't have it. You know, you got a lot of things. You have too many things. There are a lot of people out there who don't have those things. And that works because when I work with a client, we do a lot of recycling and a lot of donations.
How did you get into this? I mean, how long has the company been around?
I've been in business over 15 years.
And what were you doing in your former life?
I was a single mother very, very, very young. And I didn't have a formal education, so I had to do a lot of different kinds of odd jobs. And at one point, I was in a corporation for about 10 years. Had a wonderful job. Couldn't stand the commute. I mean, I think about the same commute, which I made tonight, to come down here. And I just wouldn't be able to do it. And I left the corporation a long time ago. Then I did some odd jobs. I worked for a lot of attorneys, as a matter of fact. And I had a lot of businesses on the side. I would work for the corporation, and I would have a direct sales business on the side. And I was a volunteer. And I was a single mom with teenagers at some point or another. So it got to the point where my kids decided to launch into their own situation, and I felt that I didn't have that responsibility. So let me go out and see what I can do with all the talents that I'd picked up along the way. Administrative assistant, you know, the whole bit. But I ran my own businesses as well. So I had a different kind of an experience. So I went to the library and I got a book, Home-Based Businesses. Very, very intriguing. And I just kept flipping and flipping and flipping. And many years ago when I was in my 20s, I had a secretarial service in my kitchen so that I could be home with my kids. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to be out. I wanted to have people contact. I thought it would be more fun. And all of a sudden, here was professional organizer. I went, I do that. Nobody ever paid me for that, but I do that. So I said, okay, let's launch this. I mean, you've got the background. You know you can do this. And off I went, Miss Cocky Anita, who decided that she could do this business. And then I found out what it was really all about. And it wasn't about me. It was about my client. And when I learned that, I became successful.
I think you could apply that theory to any business.
I think so, too.
It works for us, too.
There you go.
So is it all you, or do you have employees?
Well, I usually do things on my own because people really want me and my personality. And when they take a class from me. They expect me. They don't expect someone else. My daughter and my son, who are definitely grown at this point, have helped me in the last year to 2 years with very different projects, big projects. We had a situation where a lady died without a will, and her estate was given to an attorney as an administrator, and we had to do an inventory. So we literally went into that house, and we counted every fork, knife, and spoon. We went through every piece of paper. We went through every piece of clothing, every piece of anything, and we documented it. So in that sense, my daughter helped me on one end, and then my son came in and did the heavier work of moving things around and trying to arrange that type of stuff. So that was very helpful. If we do big things like that, then I usually bring people in. And the other side of it is that we've done an unpacking business, and that's usually for cross-country moves, you know, people have corporate moves, that type of thing, and we need a team for that, usually two or three other people besides myself, or sometimes maybe just one or two people, depending how big it is and what they want.
I'm speaking with Anita Taylor from Anita & Company, and I'm your host, Bernie Crooks, from the law firm Littman Crooks. And Anita has a very interesting business model, and right after this short break, I will be back to discuss it with her further.
Unexpected medical crises can turn lives upside down. Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Barbara called. I could tell something was wrong. She was calling from the hospital. Her husband had a stroke. Harry was going to need care in a long-term facility, perhaps for the rest of his life.
Barbara couldn't find the necessary documents.
Unfortunately, this is all too common. One spouse gets sick and the other spouse has absolutely no idea where the financial records are.
Harry quickly got the care he needed. In addition to helping Barbara gather and submit the appropriate paperwork, the experts at Littman Crooks also helped access government-financed health care to help pay Harry's medical bills.
Although we can't help Harry get better, Barbara has the peace of mind of knowing their hard-earned family assets will be available to help pay for Barbara's care in the future and to pass on to their children and grandchildren and not be eaten away by the cost of Harry's long-term care.
When a medical crisis strikes, call the law offices of Littman Crooks in White Plains and Manhattan.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
Call 914-684-2100.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We're heard right here on WFAS AM 1230 every Thursday evening from 6:05 to 6:35 p.m. And our guest this evening is Anita Taylor. And Anita, tell us this interesting business you have. How many clients at a time can you work on?
Well, I'm very, very careful about that because my business is tiring. It is tiring for my client, it's tiring for me, because I ask a lot of questions and they have to give me a lot of answers. So I limit my clients to one a day, and I work on a 3.5-hour basis. So either we work on an afternoon or a morning or whatever, doesn't matter, even at night. And a lot of times I work weekends for people who work outside of their homes and they can't do anything uninterrupted, so we work in an office sometimes on a weekend. I've gone in at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday morning with one wonderful young man who wanted to have his schedule really refined to quarter-hour segments for an entire day. And we did it. We did it. But we worked off hours. So I don't want to take anybody beyond one person. If I do a speaking engagement, I don't take a client that day.
So it's broken down into morning and afternoons.
Mm-hmm.
And
or during, an evening. It depends.
Or evening.
Yeah.
So basically there could be three segments during the day.
Yes.
So if you wanted to, you could work 10.5 hours.
If I lasted that long,
if you
yes.
To.
Yeah.
Okay, and then while you're working with an individual, they get your undivided attention?
Absolutely.
So you're not playing with your BlackBerry?
No. Don't do that.
Okay, and then when do you get time to field new phone calls from people who want to have you speak or want to hire you?
The interesting thing is I've been getting a lot of stuff over the Internet. I mean, people find my website, and they'll call me, or they go through the National Association of Professional Organizers, and they'll find me there. The speaking engagements are a little bit different. That's almost all referrals. So somebody will call me and leave a message. I mean, I retrieve messages on the road and that type of thing, so I'll use my cell and call them. But basically, you know, I don't like to fill a day too full. Recently, in this past summer, I did a project in a package situation. I have a package where you can get three sessions. This woman was a homeschooler. And she lived in two different states. It was very, very challenging project, because if you know anybody who homeschools, you know how many books they have. And we had books top to bottom, tables, floor, everything. And she decided that she wanted to work solid for a day and a half so that we could do this. And it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. And she was amazing because she was the one who was teaching, so she knew her materials. So it worked out very, very well. That's rare. That's rare. It's rare for a client as well as it's rare for me, because by the time I'm finished with 7 hours, I might even not even be able to drive home. So I'm not really at my best. That's why I don't like to do that to someone.
All right. So give me an example. I mean, just practically for me to be able to envision this of how it works. Let's say I said, you know, Anita, I got somebody who I think could really mm-hmm. use your services.
Okay.
What would be the first step? Do they call you? You call them? Do you go to the house? What happens?
They have to call me. Because okay. that's their commitment. It's wonderful that you think that it's great that they should do this, but unless they call me, I don't believe that they're
serious.
So
they call you, I got
right.
your name from Bernie Crooks,
right.
and I'd like to talk to you about how you can help.
Right, and what I do is I basically assess their need over the phone.
So they talk right then and there?
Right then and there.
So they call you, and then you talk to them for how long?
As long as we need to.
And they tell you what they think the problem is?
I ask them what bothers them the most. And that's the key. What you think, Bernie, bothers them might not be what bothers
correct.
Them. So that's the thing that I have to find out. I also have to tell them not to change anything before I get there, because I have to see how they work within that given situation. If somebody clean sweeps a desk before I get there, I don't know what their issue is. So I need to see it as it stands. So we try to get together as quickly as possible so that they're not uncomfortable.
Right, so it has to be what bothers them. So what if the person's in denial and doesn't think they have a problem?
They won't call me.
Not a good customer.
They won't call me. That's why it's important for them to call me.
Okay, so somebody who thinks they're just bopping along, doing everything beautifully, when they're a complete mess, is never going to call you.
No, they won't.
So it has to be somebody who recognizes there's an issue.
There used to be a sampler. I used to do stitchery. I had a business where we sold stitchery. And there was a sampler, and it was all one word. And the word was, you gotta wanna. You gotta wanna do this, or else it's senseless. If somebody gives me as a gift, and I've been given as a gift, and the person doesn't want to do this, the resistance is like mud. You can't make your way through it at all. So if somebody really feels that they've gone as far as they can go with whatever they've got, and that's the only solution, they'll call me.
What's the average length of time it takes for you to fix the problem?
How long did it take them to get there?
So it's not
if
necessarily
it's years
one session?
Worth, no, okay. no, no. And very rarely is it one session, because usually when I get there, it's to a point of pain. And pain usually is years' worth of stuff. So some clients like to work with me and then do homework. So we'll do a process, and we'll get through a certain system. And then I'll say, okay, and from here over, you do this before I come back. And then it works.
I'm Bernie Crooks, founding partner of the law firm Littman Crooks. As you know, we have offices in Dutchess, White Plains, and New York City. And we specialize in special needs planning and elder care. And our guest tonight on the Bernie the Attorney Show is Anita Taylor. And we're going to take a short break and come back and wrap up with Anita.
Every parent worries about their kids. Unfortunately, when you have a child with disabilities, the worries are much greater.
Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Amy and Bruce had been talking about going to a lawyer to help them ever since Charlie was born. Charlie has cerebral palsy.
The experts at Littman Crooks helped Amy and Bruce set up a special needs trust to provide for Charlie's medical and financial needs for today and for the future.
The rules are very complex. You truly do need an expert to help you navigate through all the federal and state regulations to make sure that your child gets the benefits he or she is entitled to.
Do you have a child with special needs? Call the law offices of Littman Crooks.
We don't know what the future holds for Amy, Bruce, or their son Charlie, but what Amy and Bruce do know is that they've done everything in their power to ensure that Charlie has the best quality of life possible when Amy and Bruce are here and when they're not here.
Peace of mind.
Littman Crooks in White Plains, Manhattan, or online at specialneedsnewyork.com.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm Bernie Crooks, speaking with Anita Taylor. And Anita, we got about a minute to wrap up. Give us your contact information and website, telephone, etc., and also some closing remarks, something that you want to leave the listeners with.
Okay. Phone number is area code 203 203-259-9649. I'm going to say that one more time. 203-259-9649. And now I'm going to give you my email and my website. I want you to know that I've simplified my name, so I've put it together. So I'm going to spell it because it's a lot easier. My website is www.anitaylor.com. And when you look at it, you think it's AnitaTaylor.com. And if you do that, I'd still get it. But the original website is sort of a combined name. My email is Anita@AnnieTaylor.com again. So please email me, look at the website. I will smile at you as soon as it opens up. The gift I want you to give yourself is to centralize all of your important papers. In January, we're going to have a product that will help you to do that. So please contact me.
And we look forward to learning more about that. Anita, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
It's been great to have you. And we'll see everyone else next Thursday night, 6:05 p.m., right here on WFAS AM 1230. Good night.